Welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I'm your host and teacher, Eddie Hyatt. So glad you joined me. I believe this is a Thursday morning, and we're continuing our theme, Maximizing the Power of the Lord's Prayer. If anybody knew how to pray, it would be Jesus. And when we look at the Lord's personal prayer life, it is quite amazing. Mark chapter 1 tells us about how he rose up a great while before day and he prayed. And there's another passage that talks about how he would often retire to the wilderness for times of prayer. We know that before he chose the 12 apostles, he spent the entire night in prayer. When I was a kid, somebody wrote a song. I heard somebody sing a song, "If Jesus had to pray, oh Lord, what about me?" And it was because in his humanity, in the incarnation, God taking upon human form, truly human, in his life, in his life here on this earth, during those 30 plus years that Jesus lived here, he was truly human. And because of that, he could be our example. He overcame Satan with the same weaponry that is available to you and I. He overcame Satan with prayer and by the word of God. Read Matthew 4, when he was spent 40 days in the wilderness before he entered in upon his ministry. Spent 40 days in prayer and fasting. And when Satan came to him with those three temptations, he responded to each one with saying, "It is written." If he were functioning in his Godhead powers, he could have nuked Satan, fried him. But he was functioning as a human being to be our example and to show us the way. And so when the disciples asked him, probably because they had observed his prayer life, "Lord, teach us to pray," yeah, we ought to give heed to what he said. And as I have pointed out, this is obvious, not a rote prayer to be repeated verbatim over and over. It is not like a, you know, I'm trying to think of the word Roman Catholics use, the prayer beads, and so on. It's not a rote prayer just to be verbatim going over and over again, but it brings together the great themes and priorities of prayer. And what we see in this prayer, I'm going to say again, it begins and ends with God, with his concerns, with worship to him. And then in the middle, there are our concerns, where we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." And we could divide the three concerns, which we're going to continue focusing on today, with a prayer for provision, for purity, and for deliverance, or for protection. Provision, purity, and protection. Now, yesterday we were talking about, actually the last 2 days, we were talking about provision. How, "Give us this day our daily bread." And I shared some personal testimonies with that. And I trust those have been a great blessing to you. Now today I want to move on to after, "Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts." I'm reading from the New King James. One translation, or maybe it's in another gospel, says, "Forgive us our trespasses, as we also forgive those who have trespassed against us." Forgive us of our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And that is actually a good translation, because to forgive, the Greek word literally means to cancel a debt, to let it go, cancel it, let it go. And you see, when somebody wrongs us, there's the sense where they have wronged us and they owe us. And Jesus says, cancel the debt. Let it go. I remember seeing a cartoon of a person standing in front of a rack of greeting cards. And there were two headings of the greeting cards. One section said that they were standing looking at, and again, this was a cartoon, said, "Get well." And the other one said, "Get over it." Now, I know that's easier said than done. Life can be very difficult because we live in a fallen, sinful world. But it is for our own good, for our own health, that we are to forgive others. And we also, that doesn't mean that they're off the hook, because they've got to deal with God. And the Bible says, God says, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay." Nor does it mean when we forgive that we put ourselves back under the same situation. If it's a, for example, say a business relationship where a person is not being honest and they have wronged us, yes, we confront them about it. We forgive them, but we don't necessarily put ourselves back in that situation again. You've probably heard the little saying, which is very true: fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Yes, we forgive, but we don't keep putting ourselves back into the same situation to be hurt and wronged over and over and over again. That is foolish. That is not wise. I just said something just before that expression about how that we forgive for, it's not just for others, it's also for our own benefit. Most of the people who are sick in hospitals today, medical researchers tell us this, that their disease is psychosomatic. That means it began in the mind, that their physical disease is because of stress and the pressures of life. And many times it's because of carrying around anger and feelings of wanting to get revenge on somebody and so on. That is why Dr. S.I. McMillan, a medical doctor who years ago wrote a book called None of These Diseases, he said, it's not so much what you're eating. Now, we know that eating and nutrition is very important, but he was emphasizing how these stresses of life, worrying and anger and vindictiveness also cause disease. And so to make that point, he said, it's not what you're eating, it's what's eating you that makes you sick. Yeah, I would say it's both. But what's eating you may even be more destructive than what you're eating. So let me ask you, what is eating you? And one thing that eats at the human psyche is the wrongs that are done to us. And we take those in and we think on them and we mull over them and we seethe. And we boil, and it affects our physical condition. My friends, we need to learn to forgive, let it go, move on with life. I think of Paul, how he had so much. My, all the wrongs that were done to him. When he was trying to do good to people and sharing the gospel. Publicly beaten, humiliated, thrown in prison, thrown in jail, stoned, dragged out of town and left lying by the roadside, unconscious. They thought he was dead. Having to flee different times, flee different cities because of mobs that were raised against him. What an incredible, he could have been filled with so much anger and bitterness, but he was the one who wrote and said, forgetting those things which are behind. Oh, I'm not carrying any of the dirt. I'm not carrying any of the problems from that last city I was in. I'm not carrying it to the next city. Forgetting those things which are behind. And pressing forward to those things which are before. I want to encourage you today. If you have been wronged, if somebody has wronged you and it's eating at you, I want to encourage you right now by faith. Say, God, I choose to forgive. If you find it hard, say, Lord, help me. Because right down where the rubber meets the road, it's a choice. It's not a feeling. Faith is a choice, not a feeling. And so you have to choose. And I'm going to encourage you right now, someone that something is eating at you, something that somebody did to you. I want you to say right now, Lord, I choose to forgive. I leave it in your hands. And I will close with a powerful story. Corrie Ten Boom, who's gone on to be with the Lord, but she grew up in Holland. Her family was Dutch. And when Germany, Hitler was marching across Europe, and he was sending, persecuting Jews, her father had a secret place in their little house where he hid Jews and then helped them to escape to England or someplace where they would be safe. Well, the Nazis found the hiding place. She wrote a book called The Hiding Place, and there was a movie made of it called The Hiding Place. The entire family was taken off to Nazi prison camps. Her and her sister was put in a camp. Her father was put in another Nazi prison camp where he died. Her sister wound up dying in the Nazi prison camp. The war was over. The Allies liberated her, and she was free. And her family, they were Christians, and she grew up. Now, she had a hard time overcoming this, but she did. But it was in these early days that she began to go out and sharing her testimony. And she tells about how she was in Germany, and she was giving a talk to a small group there in Germany. And she noticed standing at the back a man, a German, a large man, and she recognized him. He was the most cruel Nazi guard in the prison camp she and her sister were in, where her sister had died. The story is he had become a Christian. But at the end of her talk, he came walking up to her with had a smile on his face. And she had mentioned which prison camp she was in. And he came up and he stuck out his hand. Sister, he said, I was stationed in the German army. I was stationed in that prison camp. Now, he did not recognize her, but she recognized him. And she went through this terrible ordeal on the inside, remembering the pain, because it hadn't been at this time, it hadn't been very long. But she lifted a prayer to God. She says, God, I know I need to forgive, but I need your help. And she reached out her hand. And when she took the step of faith, and she said, when she reached out her hand, there was a tremendous sense of God's peace and presence that enveloped her. And she was able to shake his hand and say to him, brother, I forgive you. And it was an incredible thing that happened right there when she chose to forgive. And she was suddenly free from the pain and the anger and the hurt from that situation. And she traveled for many years all over the world, talking about, and one of her sayings was, there's no pit so deep that God cannot lift you out of. And on that day, the pit for her was dealing with the pain that had been inflicted upon her and her family, and being able to forgive, to cancel it, to let it go. And because she was able to do that, she went on and she had a very powerful, traveled all over the world. She called herself the Tramp for the Lord. When I first saw her, she looked like a little old grandmother with these thick-soled high-heel shoes and horn-rimmed glasses and gray hair pulled back in a bun. But God used her so mightily. And one reason he did was she was willing to forgive and to let go of the past and move on with God. I encourage you to take that step today. I'm Eddie Height. This is the Eddie Height Podcast. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.